Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O learned sage, your explanations... Oh, please repeat. O learned sage, your explanations are very good, as they should be. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. Purport. A living entity's unlawful desire to become one with the Lord in every respect is the root cause of the entire material manifestation. For otherwise the Lord has no need to create such a manifestation, even for his pastimes. The conditioned soul under the spell of the external energy of the Lord falsely suffers many unfortunate incidents in material life. The Lord is the predominator of the external energy, Maya, whereas the living entity is predominated by the same Maya under the material condition. The false attempt of the living entity to occupy the predominating post of the Lord is the cause of his material bondage, and the conditioned soul's attempt to become one with the Lord is the last snare of Maya. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakalamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Larita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So before I begin, I'd just like to request the blessings of all Vaishnavas present and those online as well, so that I can help facilitate an understanding of this verse and purport. So we have 20 minutes, so we're going to keep it quite speedy. The context, in terms of the context, this chapter is called Further Inquiries by Vidura. And at the beginning of the chapter, Vidura asks several questions which Maitreya Muni addresses. Now from text 15 onwards, Vidura is reflecting on the answers he received. So there's two specific sentences in this purport I'd like to focus on, because the purport unpacks the translation of the verse. The first section is, please listen because I'm going to ask you a question. A living entity's unlawful desire to become one with the Lord in every respect is the root cause of the entire material manifestation. For otherwise, the Lord has no need to create such a manifestation, even for his pastimes. So, my question to any of you who'd like to respond is, how is this unlawful desire to become one with the Lord the cause of the material manifestation? Do you have the roaming mic? If we have it, let's use it. If not, no worries. Just a few thoughts from anyone. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. The living entity want to enjoy by themselves rather than serving the Supreme Lord, that's in my view that comes as an unlawful desire.
Maybe we need to turn the mic volume down a little bit. I'm not sure if it's possible. But yeah. Yes, the point you're making is that the living entity is trying to enjoy separately from the Lord, and so is becoming implicated in the material nature.
That's the cause of Maya.
That's the cause of Maya. In which sense? The cause of... Do you want to say a bit more?
The living entity thought he's enjoying.
Right.
But he's not. He's entangled in the material.
He's entangled, yeah. So he thinks he's enjoying, he thinks he's controlling, he thinks he's exercising his free will, but actually he's being controlled by
Maya.
By Maya. Thank you very much for that thought. Any other thoughts on this? I'll repeat it. How is the unlawful desire to become one with the Lord the cause of the material manifestation? Yeah. Come in the proper. And then yourself.
Well, in the spiritual world, Krishna's obviously God. So you can't do it there because he's God. So you have to create somewhere else where he's not there so you can pretend to be God. So that facilitates that desire.
Brilliant, thank you. So we have our own realm that Krishna's created for us, because there Krishna's the supreme. He's the center of everything. He's the enjoyer. He's the lord and master. So I think Prabhu here also had a point. Oh, do you want to use the mic if possible?
No, I was just going to say, I think mine was very similar.
Oh, it's so the same. Okay.
Pretty much.
Brilliant. So yeah, there's one more thought over here. Peru, would you mind passing the mic along to this devotee? We'll take one more and then we'll... Yeah. Please use the mic.
I was going to say, in one sense I find it a bit confusing, because normally when we think of becoming one with the Lord, we're thinking about impersonalists and Mayavadis, you know?
Yes.
So they're kind of a little bit different from people who try and enjoy separately from the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah. But in one sense, they call that the last snare of Maya, because they're sort of, in a sense, they're trying to become God, you know? But still, there's a distinction between them and the sense enjoyers, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know if you want to expand on that or clarify
I think
that
we'll,
a little bit. In that sense, I find it slightly confusing.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I think we will delve into it. There's one more on the Vaishnavese side and Mataji side.
Hare Krishna. So similar to what Prabhuji was saying, and also it says unlawful. So, you know, we are the servants, so it's unlawful for us to... want to, become the boss in one sense.
Yes, thank you for that reflection. Yes, it's he's supplying everything for us. He's the source of us, Krishna. He's created this realm for us. So us wanting to usurp, I'll use this word usurp, Srila Prabhupada uses this as well, his position is a bit cheeky, one could say, or... frankly, yes, a little bit defiant. It is defiant, yes. Did you want to add something? Yes, sorry, can we get the mic back this side? Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say that in terms of the material manifestation, it can't be spiritual, because when they have that desire to actually facilitate that, it goes against what, as Matthew said, the laws of the perfect laws. So it's a imperfect manifestation, which is, it's a naturally like darker, the material, so that's the material manifestation. So it's naturally going away from Krishna, it's naturally, things naturally get darker.
Yes, brilliant, thank you for that. I won't repeat it because the mic's working well now, thank you. So I was reflecting on this, and I looked into the second chapter of a book called Brahman and Vaishnav by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the reason I looked into this is that it's important for us to understand what is that mechanism by which material energy really grabs us. Because the root of this question is this unlawful desire. That's the root of the seed of what's got us into this situation, essentially. So I wanted to try and understand that. So I'm going to read a little bit from that. Here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, says, "Who are the Harijans or the Vaishnavas, and what makes them different from the non-devotees? I'm quoting various evidence from the scriptures and sentiments of devotees in this Harijana Khand," that's the title of the second chapter, "to answer these questions. Before acquiring material designations, the living entity is supremely pure. Even though he is not engaged in serving the Lord, he remains situated in the neutral position of Shantaras due to his marginal nature." So we're going to get into this soon. But just to say that this is not Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaking. I'm just saying something in the middle. There's more to what he says. Jivara Sarup Hoy Nityara Krishna Das. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. So it's the constitutional position of the living being to serve Krishna. But you can see here, even though the jiva was originally very, very pure, he's not engaged in serving the Lord. And because of this, it's considered that he's in this marginal nature. So Krishna has his internal potency, his external potency, and the jiva shakti, or this marginal potency. It's also termed the tathashta shakti, and essentially this is a category, it's an ontological category of the spirit soul. And it's called marginal because it's the line between spirit and matter, just like when we go to the beach, we see a line, we see the water's edge. You can see that, you know, if we walk along the beach or any body of water. Now that line, is that line in the water or is that line on the beach, on the sand? Now that depends what side you're looking from. If you're looking in the direction of water, you can say it's water. If you're looking in the direction of land, you can say it's land. So we're like that, the jiva, the spirit soul. We're like that. When we're looking away from Krishna, Krishna Bahumukha, then we see what's not Krishna, so we're seeing Maya. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gaurani Dai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I'm going to continue. That's just a reflection point. I'm just going to carry on reading what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. Though the living entity born from the marginal potency does not at that time exhibit a taste for serving the Lord due to a lack of knowledge of self-realization, his direct propensity of serving the Lord nevertheless remains within him in a dormant state. So even though in the pure state, the jiva doesn't have the taste for service because of this lack of knowledge and lack of understanding of the science of bhakti yoga, the tendency for that is there in its dormant state. Yeah, carrying on reading a bit more. Though the indirect propensity of material enjoyment, which is contrary to the service of the Lord, is not found in him at that time, the propensity of material enjoyment is not inherent within us. It's our nature to serve Krishna. Sorry, this is now not, that's not Bhaktisiddhanta, this is just a thought, yeah. So it's, the propensity is there, but it's not manifesting. So reading on, the living entity who belongs to this marginal potency cannot remain indifferent forever by subduing both devotional and non-devotional propensities. He therefore contemplates unconstitutional activities from his marginal position. So this means that even though the jiva is not serving and is pure, because he's not serving, and one could even say that he becomes spiritually weak because he's not in his constitutional position of serving, this is a position of neutrality, there's this contemplation begins on material enjoyment. And a point's made by Srila Shivaram Swami in commenting on the section in a recent lecture, which is that if you throw something in the air, it has to go up or down, it has to go one direction or the other, it can't just stay in the air. And that's the point about this marginal ontological position. The spirit soul has to make a choice which way it's going. It can't just remain there. We can't just be indifferent to Krishna. So, I'll read a little bit more. As a sleeping person dreams that he's active in the physical world without actually being involved in activities, when the dormant, indifferent living entity of the marginal potency exhibits even a little apathy to the service of the Lord and situates himself in a neutral, unchanging condition for even a little time, he's infected by impersonalism. So this is getting to the root of the sentence that I asked you about right at the beginning. So here, I mean, Srila Prabhupada explains that this tendency for impersonalism has been there since time immemorial. And this apathy towards serving Krishna ultimately leads to this conception that I can be one with the Supreme. Neither going here nor neither going there. You know, the seed of material enjoyment began, and then contemplation as well, and now contemplation of sense enjoyment, and now a step further. So this is getting back to your question of becoming one with Brahman. So there's two more bits of Tubhakti, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura says. I'll just read through it now, and then we can discuss a bit. That is why the conditioned soul desires to merge in the impersonal Brahman, thus exhibiting his mind's fickle nature. But due to neglecting the eternal service of the Lord and thereby developing the quality of aversion to the Lord, he cannot remain fixed in that position. In this way, aversion to the Lord breaks his concentration of mind and establishes him as the master of the world of enjoyment. Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, then induces the marginal living entity to enjoy this world through her covering and throwing potencies, and thus shows the living entity the reality of being averse to the Lord's service. At that time, the living entity considers himself the king of enjoyers, and being situated in the mode of passion, he takes the position of Brahma and creates progeny. The living entities who are born from Brahma, the grandfather of everyone, expand themselves in families of Aryans and Brahmins in this world of duality. However, living entities who are covered and thrown under the control of the external energy naturally become envious. So there's one more bit. This enviousness further creates pride, illusion, greed, anger, and lust, inducing the living entities to dance frantically in aversion to the Lord. At that time, they forget they were born from Grandfather Bhishma and the Lord's instructions in the Vedas. And on the platform of progress, if a living entity cultivates transcendental sound vibration and revives the process of remembering the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he then achieves scientific spiritual knowledge. By this process, all anarthas are destroyed and he becomes situated in a supremely auspicious position. So just a couple of reflections on this, and I think then we'll have to open up. So, you know, we can see that from this position of apathy or neutrality, and not serving, the seed of material enjoyment takes root, then contemplation of that, and then becoming, wanting to become one with the Lord. It all comes from there. And because the jiva has become spiritually weak in one sense, partly in that position, because spiritual strength comes from service, he becomes distracted by this enticement of the material energy. So, and actually, before I say anything further, His Holiness Bhakti Chiru Swami says something really nice from Prema Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit, who's Lord Chaitanya's associate. He explains that the living entity is minute, and because his consciousness is minute, it can be compared to or understood to be like a ray of light. So how many points can a ray of light be directed towards? Only one, right? So it has two choices, either towards Krishna or away from Krishna. And the moment it turns its face away, then what does it see? There's only two things there at that point, Krishna and his external energy. So looking away from Krishna, now the living entity is actually from Krishna, so it's a superior entity. And then this when this parashakti comes in contact with the material energy, what happens? Naturally, it develops a tendency to exploit. Yeah, because it's superior. The jiva is superior. It's spiritual. And it's now being drawn towards the material energy. Because it's spiritual, it develops this tendency to exploit. And this is the irony which one of the devotees said right at the beginning. When this tendency to exploit begins, the living being becomes more and more entangled in the complexities of life. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, I won't go into the next few coverings, but this point of looking away from Krishna, this tendency to exploit, means that the jiva's identity is now changing from being a servant to being the master. And that is the false ego. That's the covering of false ego. And thereafter, the coverings of intelligence and the mind come, and the jiva gets its subtle body, and then the gross body. And all this came from the seed of Bahirmukha, looking away from Krishna. That's where everything began. Srila Prabhupada actually says this in one of his famous lectures on the chanting of Hare Krishna. I'm just going to read a little bit from that. As spirit souls, we're all originally Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with matter, from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by material atmosphere. In this polluted concept of life, we're all trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we're becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. This illusion is called Maya, or hard struggle for existence, for winning over the stringent laws of material nature. This illusory struggle against material nature can at once be stopped by revival of our Krishna consciousness. So, because we are close to being out of time, I did have a few more thoughts on this, but I think I will pause there. I'll just highlight, there's one other line in the translation, which is also, in the purport, which is also very, the whole purport's amazing, but there was one other section that we can also bear in mind, which connects to this, which is the last sentence of the purport. The false attempt of the living entity to occupy the predominating post of the Lord is the cause of his material bondage. And the conditioned soul's attempt to become one with the Lord is the last snare of Maya. So I hope this has addressed your question at the beginning. So we have about 2 minutes. And I know it's quite a long morning program when it's Karthik, even though it's very, very blissful. So did anyone, before we go to any comments, did anybody have any questions on this? We can take a comment after that, but are there any questions on this point of marginal potency? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I've just got a question. Is it the case that the last snare is also the first snare? Is that the way it works? The first thing to snare you is the last thing to snare you as well, and it kind of works. Is that the right? Would that be correct to say that?
Could you expand a bit more? Do you mean that, I'm not fully understanding, are you saying that the last snare of Maya is also her first move? Is that what you're...
It's like if we become under the influence of Maya, is the first thing that we think we're God? Is that kind of like... And then when we come out, the last thing is we think we are God. Because the hardest thing maybe is also the first thing that kind of covers us.
I think that's a good reflection point. It does make sense to me. I don't know fully is the answer, if it's a question. But essentially, from what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, this is how the first snare develops. And Srila Prabhupada is also, in this purport, explaining that this is also the last snare. When Srila Prabhupada says the last snare of Maya, to mean it's like, it kind of connotates, okay, this is, and I'm giving it everything I've got now. That's Maya Devi saying, okay, if you didn't want to enjoy, if you didn't want to control, if you didn't want to become master, well, guess what? You can become God. The last snare of Maya. You know, she dangles all the different carrots in front of us, but this one is golden. And this one is one that our false ego is very attracted to, because we are para shakti, the marginal nature, the tathashta shakti, has come from Krishna. It is spiritual. It is eternal. And so because we are superior in that sense to the material energy, it's, and this is what Bhakti Churuswami talks about, it's actually quite natural to develop this tendency. When a superior comes in contact with an inferior, it's natural that the superior wants to exercise its agency over the inferior. But the irony of the whole situation, it's like an animal, I don't know if you've ever seen an animal that's caught in a net. We had a deer in my garden that was caught in a boundary net, and it was so distressing for all of us because the RSPCA just didn't really respond, and this was a young deer, and it's I think they're called antlers, I'm not sure if I'm getting it right, or horns. They were kind of wrapped in this net, but the more and more it was trying to become free, the more and more the net was, it was becoming entangled. And my father was very good with animals, so he actually cut it free. He somehow got it to trust him, because this was going on for about like 20 minutes, and it was around its neck and everything. And we thought, we've got to do something. Let's not worry about the RSPCA. No offense to the RSPCA, I'm sure you're doing really good stuff out there. But in this particular scenario, unfortunately, I didn't get a great response time. But yeah, we had to cut it free. So this is the irony. The living entity says, okay, this is inferior to me. Let me try to exercise my independence. But what happens to us? We become embroiled. We become more and more embroiled. And more we try to fight with it, the more and more we become entangled. And actually, this is where we need the sword of the words of a sadhu to cut this hridaya granthi that's binding the hearts of our souls, you know, our hearts to this material nature. The words of a sadhu, and actually in this translation, the first thing that's there in the actual translation of the verses, O learned sage, your explanations are very good, as they should be. Now, even just that bit in itself, we can say, oh gosh, that's actually so profound, because Vidura is actually reflecting back to Maitreya Muni that his words are really working on his heart, and what he's saying makes complete sense, and now all his queries have been answered, and his illusion, or not that it's necessarily illusion, but all his doubts have been cleared. So this is why we need the association of devotees. Because on our own, we're just going to keep getting tangled in that net. You know? So anyway, sorry, that was a long answer. But I just got a bit carried away. But anything else? I think we have one more over here. That might have to be the last one. But yeah.
Okay, thank you. So does that mean that when we go back to Godhead, there is a chance that this will happen again?
That's a very good question. My understanding from the Gita is that once we return to Krishna, we will not fall down again to this material nature. Govinda Prabhu, you probably remember the verse. Te tadham paramam mama yad gatva na nivartate tadham paramam mama.
But we were in the spiritual world, so if we did it once.
Right. Okay, so the point here is Srila Prabhupada explains everywhere that we were originally with Krishna. And at the same time, the Gita explains that once we're in the spiritual realm, we don't fall from the spiritual realm. So this is a dichotomy that great Gaudiya Vaishnavas have been debating and discussing and written books about and theses probably about. And I have heard some very strong points on this by His Holiness Hridayananda Das Goswami, which I can go into, but because of time, I'm not sure if I should. But essentially, I think one thing we need to understand is it's not necessarily as simplistic as we think it is. And it's not necessarily binary. It's not necessarily either or. And I don't know if I should say anything further except to say that Srila Prabhupada over and over again says we are originally Krishna conscious living entities and we are originally with Krishna. Now, whether that is in Goloka Vrindavan and whether that's considered to be a fall down from the spiritual realm, I'm not exactly sure if I can answer. I don't know if anybody else has an answer in the room to that.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, if anybody has an answer to that, particular question. Yes, Govinda Prabhu. Could we pass the mic, please? Yeah, I can go into Ridhananda Maharaj's points if I need to.
I don't have an answer, but just an anecdote. So one time, Revati Nandanan Prabhu, Prabhupada gave a class, and afterwards, he wasn't in the class, but afterwards someone said, did you hear what Prabhupada said? He said that even if you go back to the spiritual world, you can still fall down. So he went to Prabhupada and asked him, did you actually say that? And Prabhupada said, yes, it is possible because the living entity is marginal. So it's just to throw another complexity into it. So it's interesting that it's still possible, according to Prabhupada's comment to him.
Please pray, Vijayan Prabhu.
There's a conversation which I sent to Prabhu there about that he has a choice, that they do come down, and that they could fall down just by choice. Come down by choice.
Thank you.
And that's, they say Shaktivesh Avatar, don't they? They come at a certain time, a certain place, and then go back to the spiritual world.
Thank you, Prajan Prabhu. And did you want to add anything to? Yeah, and I think we'll have to.
Just thinking about the concept of impersonalist, about the last snare of mind.
Yes.
The impersonalist. Part of the reason they call it that is because, on one sense, they're on the path. They're on the spiritual path, but in the other sense, they're still thinking they sort of become God or one with God. So it's almost like a contradiction. So it's they still think there's, even though they're on the spiritual path, they're still thinking they want to sort of take place with God and enjoy selfishly, independently.
Yes, so from what you're saying, I can gather that you're saying that there's a level of spiritual practice, but it's a kind of selfish spiritual practice because
still falling into the same trap as the living entities, thinking they'd enjoy it.
Yes, it's actually an extension of, it's easier for somebody to attain personal perfection or a position from which fall down is highly unlikely. By being just a simple sense enjoyer, then by wanting to become one with Krishna. Because as soon as we want to become one with Krishna, the heart becomes very hard. There's this verse in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 12.5. Klesho dika taraste sam desham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi something dukam dehavapi. Vadhyam, anyway, I've forgotten the last line. So you probably know it. The last line, does anyone know? Avyaptasi, yes, sorry. I should remember that one. But the point is that for somebody who's embodied, who's trying to attain perfection, it's very, very difficult to do so by worshipping the impersonal aspect because we're embodied. And it makes the heart very hard. It makes the heart very hard, and so it becomes very difficult, because the whole point is, if you're the same, if you're one with Krishna, there's no question of surrender, there's no question of love, it's the opposite of the month that we are celebrating right now, in one sense, because it's because you're trying to become the same, so there's no gradient on which that reciprocation of love for it to move across, if you understand my point. Just as water flows on a gradient, there's no gradient there. So what's actually happening? The heart's becoming very, very hard, thinking that I can do this. I can do this by my strength. I can do this because I'm so austere, I'm so knowledgeable. And actually it becomes very, very difficult then to surrender or to come under the shelter of Krishna's energy. Yes. Sorry, I think this has to be the last one.
I just also heard His Holiness Banu Swami was speaking about when the Chit Shakti enters like on a different stage from Shraddha to Prem, that at that point we don't fall down. So as well, yeah.
So hang on, let me get this right. You're saying at a certain point when the Chit Shakti descends on the living being, the living being will not fall again.
Yes, if I remember correctly, there's a
from Bhanuswami
stage of prem that we can fall down as well.
At the stage of prem. Okay, brilliant. So I think because of time, we have to end here. We're already 10 minutes over. If anyone has, you know, really wants to know Hridayananda Maharaj's points, please come and see me and I will share them with you. Unfortunately, I could not go into them without creating a lot more discussion, I think. But I hope that everyone's okay with this level of delving into the purport. And thank you so much, very much, everybody. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.